Hello, thank you guys so much for clicking this video today. I really appreciate it. I've been really excited for this one. I've been trying to pull it together for the past 6 months, and today I'm actually with Shahaf, and he's the CEO and founder of Codi. And they're actually bringing Jed to the Cardano ecosystem, which is going to be an algorithmically backed Cardano stablecoin. So we're going to have a lot of information in this podcast. If you guys do enjoy it, make sure you comment down below. If you have any questions, comment those down below. And if you enjoy it, click that like button. So, you know, very briefly, I know a lot of people already know you, but can you introduce yourself and then go into what is Codi?
Sure thing. Well, and it's great being here. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah.
So my background, I'm 45, I'm CEO of Codi since inception in 2017. So we've been around for quite a while. Prior to that, I founded a company back in 2006 called Web3, believe it or not. That was later on acquired by IPG, then went on to found Positive Mobile, which was acquired by Brightcom, and then ventured into crypto probably 2015, and then founded Codi at 2017. Codi, currency of the internet, is an enterprise-grade layer one. So we have our own blockchain that is powered by a direct acyclic graph, a DAG. It's uniquely optimized to solve challenges around payments, right? So you have general purposes layer one, like Cardano, and then you have layer ones that are optimized to solve one thing very well. And for us, it's payments, specifically it's consumer merchant payments. So we've been around this space since 2017. We use our native asset, Codi, to actually facilitate the transactions to move around value and to pay gas fees. Codi is actually, you know, it has its own ecosystem around it. So we have a native wallet called Viper. We have a few products like crypto gateways for payments, etc. And we have our own treasury app, which is a system where you can deposit your Codi and you reap the rewards that come from our ecosystem and all of our activities. So this is super popular right now. It has about 40% of our supply locked in there to reap rewards. Other than that, we've been in a very close relationship with IOG and Cardano pretty early on. We created AdaPay, which is a system that allows merchants and nonprofit organizations to receive payments using ADA. So it's an app. It also has all these plugins for e-commerce websites. We were the first investments that C-Fund, the Cardano Ecosystem Fund, has done. And now we are doing Jed alongside Cardano, where IOG is the company that develops the actual smart contract. And then Codi goes on to publish it live, support the ecosystem around it, and develop the front-end interface where users work together. So we've been working quite closely together throughout this last year.
Awesome. When did the layer one for the Codi blockchain actually launch?
So in 2017.
Awesome. So with that, you know, what enterprises have you guys worked with? What, utilities have you offered enterprises in the past, you know, since you've already been launched since 2017?
So we've been working with over 100 merchants. We try to optimize to, you know, mid-size to big-size merchants, whether they are from the gaming industry, where we had a lot of success, or other industries. What's new for us right now is with the launch of MultiDAG 2.0, Codi is actually changing from being, a one coin network with its own single native asset to creation of other native assets. So our offering to enterprises now upgrades, and we allow them to mint their own token, whether it's a payment token or a loyalty token, and build a private payment network around it. So if you are a big enterprise and you know, you're working with a lot of users, what you realize over time is that, you know, A, you pay a lot of fees that are associated with payments because you're using, you know, the rails, the credit card rails, and so on. It's a slow process. Settlement is actually slower. I mean, for us as users, it seems like, you know, we've received confirmation for our payment, but in reality, settlement actually takes a lot of time. And lastly, all the data that is associated with the payments and all the products that can be built around this doesn't belong to you as the merchant, right? You control the user experience when user arrives to your site, when he picks products that he likes, everything and everything until the moment where it's time for actual payment to take place. And then the user actually moves on to the hands of a third party that controls the entire process. So they can decline the transaction for various reasons, offer other products, financial products, and you're not part of it as a merchant. So I think, you know, looking deep into the 21st century, I think merchants, which are, you know, the catalyst for all of these transactions, would like to have better control over data and would like to be able to offer all these products around it. I mean, we've seen things that didn't take off, like, you know, Meta or Facebook wanting to release a token. So maybe they won't do it. But I think down the line, we'll see enterprises actually releasing their own payment currency. It can be pegged, you know, to fiat currencies. It can be not pegged to fiat currencies. But I think we'll see more and more of this happening over time. I think this is like the next logical evolution of payments.
So I wanted to dive a little deeper into the term DAC. You know, I've actually never heard that associated with a blockchain before. So can you really go into that term and you know, what does DAC mean? Because now we're into multi-DAC 2.0, right? Which was with multiple tokens, which is really exciting. So
yeah, so DAG is a data structure. So instead of batching the data into blocks, you batch them into a graph. So DAG is a direct acyclic graph. Hmm. When I think the mental model for this can be a mesh versus blocks, right? So the idea is that you don't have block creators. What you have is actually new transactions that are added to the mesh. And there's a lot of science, and we have our own consensus mechanism called proof of trust that actually dictates where new transactions are added to the data structure. And these transactions are the ones that actually do the work of the little proof of work that is needed to attach them to the mesh and then later on confirmed as a data structure. What it allows actually is, you know, multiple sharding, and other various tricks that allow this network to be a lot faster than what you have with blocks. I mean, blockchains by design are not meant to be fast. A mesh or a DAG actually is very, very fast. I mean, you know, tens of thousands of transactions per second. We're not the only DAG out there. So you have IOTA and Hashgraph and others that are building over a graph. So it's pretty unique, but we're not alone in this exploration. Obviously, we have a mainnet that has already, you know, processed, you know, millions of transactions, and it's working quite nicely.
That's very interesting. I've never really heard of, you know, someone tackling it with that design. So thank you for explaining that. How does the Kodi token play into, you know, this layer one ecosystem? You know, we mentioned the treasury staking earlier. You know, you got 40% of the total staked in the treasury. How else does it, you know, play a role in this ecosystem?
Well, like any other layer one or like ADA, Kodi is the native asset that you use to pay for transactions, right? So this is what you pay for computation. One very cool feature that we have, because, you know, mind you, we were thinking of consumer merchant payments when we designed the network. And as a consumer, when you pay for something online, right, you take it for granted that the merchant is the one that pays the processing fee, right? We never pay processing fee when we swipe a card. However, when we, in traditional blockchains, when we move value from our wallet to, let's say, the merchant's wallet, we are the ones that are paying the gas fee, which is unnatural when it comes to consumer merchant payments. So we've created something that is called a payment request, And what it does is actually when a merchant actually asks you to pay for something, he sends a payment request. When you transfer value, the merchant is the one that is paying the fees associated with the transaction. So his goti is being sent to the network. And that is, if you think about adoption, you know, it's pretty difficult to, persuade a lot of consumers globally to have a wallet with even one token. Now, if you're going to try and persuade them to, you know, somehow find gas and put it in their wallet when they have nothing else in their wallet yet, it becomes, it's a broken funnel. So we've solved this with that. So when an enterprise is working with us and like the sort of things that we're working on right now, users will only have the merchant's token in their wallet, and the merchant will be the one that is covering the fees associated with the transaction. He's the one that's holding a lot of koti, and he's the one that is buying it and spending it.
Yeah, I actually really like that design. You know, someone essentially sending someone else a wallet request, paying for the fee, so all they have to do is click pay, and then the tokens come directly out of their wallet. Let's get into stable coins. You know, we've heard of, you know, there are multiple different stable coins in the past. You have, you know, algorithmic stable coins, and then you also have traditional stable coins where, you know, they're backed one-to-one in a bank account, or they say they're backed one-to-one in a bank account, but there's really no, proof of those reserves. And, you know, with cryptocurrency, we all want to move towards a trustless ecosystem. And I think that's the role that algorithmic stable coins play. However, if you look back, you've seen Luna, you know, which doesn't seem very trustless. So, you know, what is an algorithmic stablecoin? And then kind of compare that to traditional stablecoins where they say they're backed one-to-one or they actually are backed one-to-one.
Sure. I would also add that we also have stablecoins that are backed with other cryptos, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be, you know, stay fully digital, have the transparency that is required, you can also back a stablecoin with a crypto. That makes more sense if you're, you know, fully on an ecosystem that is digital. You actually want, you don't want fiat involved, right? Because again, fiat means trust and audits, and you never know what happens. And, you know, there are a few entities that control the entire collateral. And we've seen this, right? Whenever, you know, a new Tether FUD is blown into the market, it may lose peg. And, you know, recent events in the market kind of like showed us, you know, that what is failing is actually not the algorithms. What is failing is actually centralized entities, right? Mm-hmm. When FTX fails, it is not a failure for crypto. It will definitely put a bad light on crypto, but it's not a failure of crypto when you think of it. You know, the algorithm stays the same. You know, Bitcoin is the same, the moment after. What is failing is actually a centralized entity. It can be regulated when it means that failure is less likely, but it's still likely. We've seen regulated entities fail all the time. But what is failing us is actually the man in the loop. So this is why you want this to be fully digital and transparent. So that kind of like the big difference between fiat-backed stablecoins or traditional stablecoins, as you call them, and algorithmic stablecoins or crypto-backed stablecoins. Now, when you venture into crypto-backed stablecoins, you can have a design where, let's say, I'm putting in ETH at a one-to-one ratio to back a stablecoin. ETH drops in price. Obviously, you just lost the peg. So that doesn't really make sense. This is where over collateralizations come into place, and we've seen a few ideas happening around this. Before I dive into that, let me explain about algorithmic stablecoins, because you know Jed is actually taking both the idea of over collateral and algorithms and merges it into one very powerful stablecoin. So with algorithm, you try to be capital efficient. So what you're trying to do is actually create a new type of asset, a reserve token, and people buy into this asset, and that gives kind of like an extra cushion to the stablecoin. So when the price kind of like drops, you use this reserve coin to buy more of the stablecoin to kind of like raise its price. When it price kind of like it's more than a dollar, then you Then you sell it in the market and buy more of the reserve coin. So you're trying to kind of like maintain this balance. It sounds good on paper, but this was exactly Luna, right? Because when you have this asset, this reserve coin, and its entire use case is to keep the peg, it doesn't really have any other utility. So you can have the sort of effect that we've seen with Luna of a death spiral, because when the reserve coin price drops, it immediately drops the price of the stable coin. When that happens, you actually need more of that reserve coin to, you need to sell it in order to buy more of the stable coin. So you're dropping its price a bit more. And now the stable coin price drops a bit more and you have this death spiral. So JET is very different than that. Big things. First of all, JET is over-collateralized. So we're using ADA as the asset, the base asset that gives the stablecoin its value. Now, ADA is obviously non-dependent on JET. ADA has its has a lot of liquidity, it has a lot of utility, and it's completely unrelated to JET. So the price of JET and ADA doesn't need to move at the same direction. It's not correlating at all, right? And we're not just using uncorrelated assets. We're actually using a lot of ADA to back the price. So the healthy ratio in which JET operates is 4x to 8x, right? So you can have $8 worth of ADA in the system to mint $1 worth of JET. So even if the price of ADA drops suddenly by 50%, you still have a lot of reserve to kind of like redeem all the JET in the system for $1 and still have some extra, right? So it's really ready for major, major drops that are in reality highly unlikely in ADA anyway.
And you but mentioned 400% for the over collateral?
400 to 800%.
Okay. And is that going to be determined by market conditions, you know, volatility conditions, the 400 to 800%?
It's actually dependent by user. So this is where Shen comes into play. So if you remember when I've mentioned algorithmic stablecoin, I've mentioned a reserve coin that comes into play. So this is Shen, because we need to give some incentive to people to actually deposit all that ADA in the smart contracts, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where Shen comes into place. So when you deposit ADA in the smart contract, and by the way, you can test it right now in JET.xyz. There's a test net there and you can play with it. It works brilliantly right now. When you deposit ADA in the smart contract, you can mint JET. So now you have a stable coin. However, you can also mint Shen. When you mint Shen, this is actually a volatile asset, but now you have quite a few benefits that are coming. So when people mint and burn JET, they actually pay fees, right? Even when you're doing stable coins, like fiat stable coins, when you mint and burn them, let's say with Circle, you pay fees. So these fees are not going to a centralized entity that produces stablecoin. It actually goes to the community of Shen holders. So you're getting all these fees. So the idea there is that you actually want to provide ADA to the smart contract and take Shen out because you'll take a lot of fees coming from the system. When we model it right now, it looks kind of like 10% a year. There is actually more. You're part of the Cardano ecosystem. You believe in ADA. You think, hey, ADA price may surge, right? So when you've deposited ADA in the smart contract, you're not losing this ADA. You can get it back when you burn your Shen and you can get ADA back. However, if the price of ADA has increased, right? Let's just for the sake of basic math, let's say the price has increased by 2x. When you'll deposit your Shen back, you'll actually get 2x more ADA. Because remember that the person that has deposited ADA to get a dollar worth of Jetpack, right? So I, let's say ADA was a dollar, I've deposited one ADA, I got one Jetpack. Now the price of ADA is $2, right? So when I'll deposit JET in the smart contract, I won't be getting two ADA back, I'll be getting half an ADA back, right? Because this is $1 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where does this ADA goes? It actually goes to SHEN holders. So we give all these incentives to SHEN holders, and they are the one that provide all this liquidity. So the way the system works is day one, there is nothing in the system, nothing. People start to deposit ADA in the smart contract. Now they can only mint SHEN back. So they're minting SHEN. Now the ratio is 4x. So now people can start minting JET because now we have enough collateral and we know the system is safe. People can start minting JET. Now other people want to deposit ADA because other people want SHEN. So they deposit more and now the system is between 4x and 8x. When this is like the healthy zone of the system, people can mint and burn JET, they can mint and burn SHEN. More people want SHEN because they find it pretty lucrative. So they deposit more ADA into the smart contract, but now it's over 8x. So now we have so much collateral that we don't allow people to mint any more SHEN because now they'll be diluting the people that have already minted SHEN. And this is why the system kind of like balances itself. There is, it's all in the smart contract and it's pretty detailed in the white paper. We are doing actually nothing to state the collateral ratio or anything. We do not involve in this. And this is, again, very different to fiat-backed stablecoins or even Luna, where, when they just halted the blockchain or handled Bitcoin manually to kind of like support the system. The system balances itself at a very healthy ratio where everybody are happy because everybody's getting what they want.
So at 400%, if it's below that, people won't be able to mint JET anymore, right? So then at 800%, you can't mint SHEN, and then at 400, no more minting JET.
It's above 800, you can still mint JET, right? Because we have a lot of collateral, right?
Yeah.
So you can mint and burn JET above 800. 400 to 800, you can mint and burn JET for sure. Below 400, you can only burn JET because, you know, this is, we always need to be able to cover those who want to redeem their stable coins. You can always burn JET. So essentially the system is designed so that you can always burn JET and get a dollar worth of ADA back. But you can't mint any more JET below 400 because it's not over-collateralized enough. Below 400%, you can mint more SHEN, and because you now you're adding collateral, but you can't burn SHEN, right? Because this is like kind of like the risk that you're taking. You need to provide at least 4x collateral. So because JET holders will get these preferences.
Yeah, 400
to 800. Yeah, and then
yeah.
This is, and by the way, this design has already been implemented. I mean, very close design, almost the same, was implemented in Sigma USD, and it survived a lot of dramatic price changes and drops and everything that we've seen in the market, like in the last 2 years. It has survived and kept the peg. So we know this design can work.
And that was with Ergo, right? Sigma USD?
Yes.
Yeah, there was definitely a dramatic price decrease there. You know, I think I once saw it like, you know, $30, and now it's at, you know, probably less than $3. So definitely a dramatic price decrease to, you know, see that it actually held through and survived during that time.
Yeah.
Is
Sigma
there
USD is still a dollar, by the way. So it works.
Yeah. So is there any, you know, use case for the Kodi token in this, you know, design?
So actually, it's kind of like uncorrelated and correlated in a way. So obviously, this whole thing runs on Cardano blockchain. It does not run on Kodi's blockchain. But our partnership with IOG, right, co-development, means that we are entitled to some operational fee. It's not high, by the way. Let me cover the fees so that kind of like align everybody. So when you mint Shen, the fee is 0.2%. When you burn Shen, it's 0.5%. And Cody is taking no operational fee out of it. When you mint JED, the fee is 1.5%. And then Cody takes 0.5% operational fee. When you burn Shen, it's when you burn JED, sorry, it's exactly the same. So we're getting some operational fee. The rest and everything that mint and burn actually goes to Shen holders, does not go to Cody. So we use this operational fee and we use this ADA and put it in Cody's treasury. And people that hold Cody and are depositing it in Cody's treasury are actually getting these fees. So it's not Cody, the company that takes it, it's actually the holders of Cody that are part of Cody's treasury. So this is kind of like how we shift the value around.
And that 1%, you know, other than the 0.5%, does that go back to Shen holders?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything goes to Shen holders. Yes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so, by the way, if I can just add one more thing.
No, no worries.
One of the features that we are working on, and I would say relentlessly working on, is making sure that for the ADA that you've deposited in the smart contract, you will also get the staking rewards that comes out of it, right? Mm. So let's say, let me kind of like go through like the benefits, right? So let's say you've minted Shen. What are you getting? So first of all, you're getting all the mint and burn fees, right? And as I mentioned, we're estimating it. We can't really be sure. It depends on a lot of things, but let's say it's about 10% a year. This is what you're getting. This is classical DeFi. Let's say you've provided liquidity to a pool. You're getting some of the fees associated with the pool. Great. So we estimate this is about 10% a year. You're getting, and again, this will be released hopefully very soon, the staking rewards. So standard staking rewards, let's say 3-5%, maybe, right? And it will probably be more on the high end. So that's almost 15%. You will get farming rewards, right? Because both for JED and Shen, we've already locked partnerships with DEXs that will give like a lot of incentives for those who build liquidity pools in the DEX. Like from what I can disclose now, we're talking about 15% APR, right? So, and that's for stablecoins, right? So you have the 15%, you have maybe another 15% coming from the DEX. So that kind of looks like 30%. And I think, and you get to keep your ADA, right? And if ADA price surges, you're making more than just the price surge, because as I've mentioned, you're getting an extra ADA for that. Mm-hmm. So I think if you are long on ADA, like I am and Cody as a company is, this is probably one of the best moves that you can do. And again, you know, not financial advice, none of that, but like just look at the data, that makes a lot of sense. So what would make it very successful if this will be, you know, a very substantial stable coin in the Cardano ecosystem? We think it will be. Not just because IOG backs it and develop it, because we already signed like 40 partnerships that we roll out at launch. So adoption will be super fast. Mm-hmm. Because obviously a stablecoin is kind of like a big pillar for every ecosystem, DeFi, lending and borrowing, payments. We all need stablecoins, right? So this will be quite big. And because this is actually the only decentralized, algorithmic, over-collateralized stablecoin that pays the rewards back to the community. I would say most, if not all, of the rewards actually go back to the community, whether it's the Cardano ecosystem, Shen holders, et cetera. or the Kodi ecosystem. So I think this is why I think this will be quite big.
So of those 40 partnerships, what are the top three that you think will have the most impact, you know, on Jed?
I would say at launch, probably the DEXs will be the biggest ones. We've signed with all of them, but we are prioritizing three big ones. And I don't want to give too much now, but I think people can speculate who will be the ones that we launch with. And again, this is a decentralized currency. Any DEX anywhere can open a pool, and people can open a pool. We don't discriminate. We don't control it at all. But we've just made sure that some DEXs will have a good farming plan to incentivize that. And of course, this will mean that these will be our launch partners. But as I mentioned, we are, you know, with 40 partnerships, we are everywhere. NFT, gamings, you know, wallets, liquidity, et cetera, et cetera.
So what are these liquidity farms on the DEXs, whether it be MintSwap, SundaeSwap, what are they being incentivized with to provide liquidity? Is that going to be Jed, Shen, or ADA?
What sort of incentives they give, or why do they do that?
What incentives do they give? Let's say you take, you know, Shen or they Jed and you provide it as liquidity, you know, on the DEX. What are you earning, you know, on a daily or epoch or every 30 days, depending on the DEX?
So you'll be earning, depending on what you provided, so you'll be earning, you know, Jed or Shen from fees. You'll be earning the other side of the pair. Let's say it's ADA, so you'll be getting ADA. But you will also be getting the DEX token that they give as special incentives. They don't do that with all pools, but they will do that with Jed and Shen.
Okay, so then the Jed and Shen that you're earning will come from fees, I'm guessing. And then the additional rewards is, you know, the MintSwap token or the Sunday token, whatever DEX that you're farming on. That makes sense.
Yeah, or Wing Riders. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So will Kodi ever be a Cardano native token? That was a community question.
Kodi is actually, so obviously we have the trust chain, we have our native assets. This is where the magic happens. But Kodi also exists on Ethereum as an ERC-20 version. And we have some limited version on Binance Smart Chain, because Binance was the first major exchange to list Kodi. Kodi is now listed pretty much everywhere. Coinbase, Kraken, Wobi, and so on and so forth. I mean, the only major exchange that never listed Kodi was FTX, and seemed to backfire to FTX. I'm just joking.
They did the same thing with ADA.
Ha! You see, karma. Yeah, karma is a bitch. Now. One of the core technologies that Kodi has is that we have our own bridge, right? Now running Bridge 2.0. And it just recently launched at its 2.0 version. And like one of the cool things that we do with the bridge is allow Kodi to exist on other networks, right? So Cardano is, and it's not a big secret, Cardano is definitely like the next in line on our list. So what it would mean that you can actually create a version of Kodi on the Cardano network and to exist there. You can also create a version of Jed to exist on the trust chain and allow deposits of Jed into Kodi's treasury and vice versa. I mean, like the way we see the future is definitely interoperable. There's not going to be one chain to rule them all. And in this future, we see Kodi as a layer one that has specific use cases and tries to optimize to solve them best. It's very hard, you know, to solve everything with a general purpose layer one. There's obviously a lot of room for that. But like the way we see the future is making sure that our chain is the best to solve a thing. And our thing right now is payments. But as we will, gradually disclose in the coming weeks, is that we are venturing to a new and exciting use case for us, which is around regulation technology or reg tech. Like, you know, we believe that, you know, you don't need to be an oracle to kind of like predict that regulation will come and come hard to our market. Now, I don't want to be in a future where you can either do very limited things or just stay in the shadows and in the hiding, right? To do innovative things. Like, I want to be in a future where we can build innovative technologies, but don't break the law of the land. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very difficult right now. Even if you want to be a good player, it's pretty difficult the way blockchains are built.
It's expensive.
Expensive and again limited, so a lot of things can happen to you, right? Let's say you've done everything right, but someone just sent you money from Tornado Cash, right? Now the bank won't accept your money. Like, you've done personally nothing wrong, just as an example. So we're thinking about how can a blockchain actually be suitable to Web3 type regulation? Like, how can we build something that makes a lot of sense and will allow developers, you know, small to big, to actually develop systems that are efficient, that are innovative, but can keep regulation and constantly follow what is happening with regulation, because regulation is a moving target, right? It's a product that the government builds, and we want to make sure that we can build something that is flexible enough. But we'll talk about this more in the coming weeks and probably month and the next year or two.
I look forward to that. It's definitely, you know, regulation's obviously coming. You know, we saw it even before the Luna crash and the now FTX.
Yes.
So it's going to come even quicker now. Another community question that I had for you is, you know, when is someone going to be able to deposit ADA and withdraw SHEN and, you know, start interacting with algorithmic stablecoins on Cardano?
Well, next month, actually. Next month is our goal to launch the mainnet for Jed and Shen. Right now, you can play with the testnet, with the public testnet on JedXYZ. First of all, as you can imagine, it's quite a complicated technology and quite a complicated smart contract.
Yeah.
People can actually see it afterwards because it will be published as open source. Right. Mm-hmm. So development took time. In the meantime, we had the Vasil upgrade. So we needed to make sure that what we release is actually compatible with Vasil.
Yeah. So it will be Plutus V2 then on launch.
Plutus V2 will come, not on launch. Plutus V2 will come in version 1.2. So that is planned for early next year. But it is compatible with Vasil right now. And of course, audits. So, like, we did two audits to the code, rigorous audits and penetration tests and everything. Like, the one thing that we can't fail on is security, right? If people are not interested in the product, which will probably not be the case with, you know, major stablecoin coming to Cardano, but if that is the case, I can live with that. I can't live with leaving security vulnerabilities at the code without doing everything that we could to kind of like make sure that we, you know, locked all hatches. And this is why it took a bit more time. But it's pretty close, actually. It's January. So we're really excited about this now.
Yeah, I personally would rather wait a little longer than have a, you know, higher risk using these smart contracts. Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to, but they will still ask when.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
So when safe, Jed? Yeah.
So it's been a great podcast today. I learned a lot. I would say I really understand what Cody is, and I understand what Jed is, and I understand how it all works. Is there anything that we didn't cover in this podcast before we get out of here today that you would like to go over?
I think we pretty much covered this. I would say that... but I like people to kind of like think about, everybody understands why a stablecoin is important. I think people will now understand a bit more how an over-collateralized algorithmic stablecoin works. I don't want people to kind of like batch all algorithmic stablecoins in the same place because Luna failed. It's really it's really shallow. Right? Mm-hmm. If you look deep inside, you realize like there's a major difference between the two.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good reasons why you want to hold JED. Obviously, as a utility, it makes perfect sense. But I think a lot of people kind of like may have missed why Shen is so important and lucrative. And I think this is something that people should kind of like take a deep look into. Because when the pool opens and the ratio goes above 8x, you're not getting Shen anymore. You can maybe buy it off the market, but you're not getting Shen. You can't mint it anymore. So I think this is why I would like people to kind of like make sure that they understand how important Shen is. And also maybe one last thing, we thought staking will take a long while to be able to get the staking rewards from the contract. But we are making a lot of progress these days. So it will probably be faster than what we've anticipated.
Awesome. That's really exciting. And I will say I was being a bit shallow before. I was nervous about algorithmic stablecoins, but I definitely see the difference between previous algorithmic stablecoins and, you know, Shen and JED. And, I personally am going to make some tutorials on how to use it. And I recommend anybody watching this video to click that testnet link down below. Start playing around with it. If we're going to get it next month, it'd be good for you to take some time and learn how to interact with it to make sure that you know what you're doing and then you're not making any mistakes. So make sure you guys like the podcast, comment down below, subscribe, hit that notification bell. I'll be making YouTube videos on how to use JED. I'll probably make one on the testnet before it comes out. So yeah, thank you guys so much for watching and thank you so much for doing this podcast with me today. I really appreciate it and I learned a lot.
Thanks a lot. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. See you guys. Have a good day.